ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि. ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्. Hello everybody, last week we saw the four verses, which three and a half actually, which state the vibhutis of the Lord. And the Lord is now, we saw the journey of the Jiva and how the Jiva goes through transmigration because of the karmas and the vasanas and the desires that he has. And then the Jiva, who is quite extroverted, so Bhagwan says, okay, because the antaranga sadhana he already gave, nirmana moha jita sanga doshaha, that is the internal adjustment. But if the jiva is still, there are still people who are very extroverted, and if you are, then Bhagwan is saying, okay, then look for me in external objects. The same idea we saw in the entire chapter 10, where Bhagwan gave about 75 vibhutis of his. For the gross-minded people, it was more for the gross, those who are subtle-minded, those whose minds are purified, must actually try, because this external sadhana, which is called bahiranga sadhana, has to culminate in antaranga sadhana. Because antaranga sadhana is, the adjustment in the mind is very, very important. But, you know, for those who are still gross-minded, still new, okay, fine. Then look at the sun, Bhagwan says, and understand that the brilliance behind the sun and the moon and the fire is nothing but my own brilliance. It's me. So sun representing the organs of perception, moon representing the mind, and Agni, fire representing speech, so representing the organs of action. Indirectly, Bhagwan is telling us that through these, they are powered by me, so you cannot reach me through them. This is what is to be understood. But definitely the recognition should be there that whatever is powering the sun is the power behind the moon, is the power behind the fire, and that is the same power behind how I am functioning. So I am speaking, or I am moving, walking, etc. So that is how from outside you need to come inside. That's the sadhana. That, okay, you look up outside, and then this is the thought should come, and then the thought should come, oh, that same power is within me. That same power is making me move and speak, etc. Okay, sun is too far. Okay, then let me come inside the earth. Gama vishecha bhutani dhara yamya hamojasa. The power within the earth, the gravitational pull within the earth is me, is mine. And that is why you can remain steady on this earth. That is one meaning. Also, the gravitational pull, which is keeping all the planets in orbit, that is me. So if you are an astronomer, and if you are looking at the planets and the stars and everything, think about it. The sun is in its place, and each planet is moving in perfect precision. Who is controlling that? Somebody has to be controlling it, right? Bhagwan says it's me that's controlling. Therefore, there is no collision between the planets. Can you imagine what would have happened? And then pushnami chaushadihi. Aushadhi, I told you, is food, because it is, that's why Bhagavan Shankaracharya in his Sadhana Panchakam has said that food should be taken as medicine of hunger, for hunger. So it's should be taken in as medicine, like I told you. And he says the food also, there is a support from within the earth, which is keeping us on this earth steady. And then we need sustenance also. The body is sustained by food and food alone. And the body has to be sustained. Now, who is sustaining the body? Is Bhagavan says, I through the moon rays am nourishing the seeds, and they are giving rise to the grains and the plants and everything. And that's what you're eating. So in effect, your body also, I am sustaining. So that is also, you go out and then you have to come within. So you say, oh, the power inside the earth, you know, the gravitational pull is his. The pull which is keeping all the planets in place is his. But then who is sustaining me? Oh, but I can say, oh, but yeah, food is, where is the food coming from? Where is the nourishment in the food coming from? It's coming from the moon rays. I told you that the seeds, unless they're exposed to the moonlight, they don't have that much nourishment. So through that, Bhagwan is nourishing us. So this is how we come from outside, we come inside. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva, but earth is also too far. Okay, then I'm in your stomach. That close I am. So I am the digestive fire in your stomach. Bhutva praninam deham ashritaha. I stay in the deha, in the body, in the stomach of all the pranis. So pranis, plants, animals, humans, everybody. And then with the help of prana and apana. So with the help of the pranas, I told you the physiological functions are controlled by the pranas. So through them, I digest the fourfold foods. So, and we saw the fourfold, that can be chewed and drunk and sucked and licked, and or proteins, carbs, dairy products, and you know, vegetables and fruits, whichever food groups you can take, protein, carbs, or fats and oils, and then fruits and veggies. So whichever way you see it, it's basically the food. One thing that we must understand here is, now this verse, because he talks about I digest four types of food, obviously he's referring to eating. So Vaishvanara, being the digestive fire, is referring to eating. But now when we say food, the word for food in Sanskrit is ahar. And ahara means intake. Intake it is. Ahara is coming in, getting in. Now, we are not only eating food. We are actually eating color and form through the eyes. That is ahara for the eyes. Sound is ahara for the ears. Smell is ahara for the nose. So when you take the word to mean ahara, then broaden your horizon. So not just food that Bhagwan is digesting as Vaishvanara, but all the experiences are because of him. So when my eyes look at color and form, I understand what color it is, what form it is, because of the presence of Bhagwan, because of the presence of this Vaishvanara. This verse, if you just take the verse meaning, it is food. It is referring to food. But now we just think a little bit deeper. I have told you this before. Bhagavan Shankaracharya has not left the thread of knowledge. Okay. But there are other commentators who have come up with these. They have thought, and then they have come up with these ideas, which make perfect sense. Because if you take food as ahara, so we are digesting color and form, we are digesting sound, means assimilating it, experiencing it, enjoying it, or not liking it. I might see something and I may not like it or like it. And therefore the expression is there, food for thought. That is not physical food that we are eating, but we are chewing that particular thing in our mind. Right? We are thinking about it. Oh, processing. This is the word that I have heard from some people. They say, this has happened in my life. I need to process it. So then they take that. So that processing function is being done by Vaishvanara. So you expand the meaning of this verse that way. another expansion that we take, this word Vaishvanara appears in Mandukya Upanishad. Of course, we were told this because we had studied Mandukya at that time. Anyway, in Mandukya Upanishad, Vaishvanara is defined, the definition of Vaishvanara that is given is Jagrat Avastha Abhimani. Jagrat, waking Avastha state, Abhimani, identified. The one who is identified with the waking state. So when you take this Vaishvanara, the waking state, one is the individual waking state. That, of course, you can take individual. So the all my experiences in my waking state are because of Vaishvanara. And there you would only take Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva. If you just take that and don't take the ahar part of it, Aham Vaishvanaro, this Vaishvanara word is being defined by Mandukya Upanishad, is one of the 10 major ones, the most major in the 10 major, as Jagrat Avastha Abhimani. So if you take Bhagwan to be the Jagrat Avastha Abhimani, which means, it means that all my waking experiences are because of the presence of Vaishvanara in me. And we see that. I mean, the very fact that I'm speaking tells you that there is life in me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be speaking. So that is at the individual level. And then Vaishvanara is also can be considered as the total Jagrat Avastha Abhimani Purusha, totality. So all the experiences of all the individuals, of all the animals, of all the plants, whatever experiences are happening in the waking state, are because of Vaishvanara. This is how you expand the verse a little bit. But if you even just stick to the food part of it, that's fine. No worries at all. Now, we were in the next verse, 15. Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishtaha. And I explained, aham has come so many times in this verse. So aham is the keyword and aham has to be understood correctly. So aham is not referring to gross body. Aham is not referring to subtle body, nor is it referring to causal body. Aham refers to causal body when I say I am ignorant of something. That means I've made aham into the causal body. When I say I'm happy or sad, that aham is referring to subtle body. And when I say I'm tall, short or fat, thin, anything with the body, then I'm referring to gross body. Is Bhagwan referring to one of these three things? Is he referring to his gross body, his subtle body? No, no, that has to be understood. So this aham, when Bhagwan is saying, it is that aham which can never be destroyed, which can never destroy anybody else, which can never be given up. This given up, heya and upadeya, these are two very important words. So anything which is the not self can be given up by us. And that's the reason that whenever we have a headache, we want to give it up, because headache is not our basic nature. To have any ache anywhere is not our nature, not our natural nature. So we try to get rid of it. Nobody says, I want to live with a headache or with any kind of stomach pain or leg pain or hand pain or whatever. So we try to get rid. So what is not us, we will always try to get rid of it, or we will be able to get rid of it. And we can get rid of it, and we can take it on also. Both it is there. So body is the not self. That's why at one point in time, we will give up the body. Forget the final death. We actually give up the body every night in deep sleep. Where do I know what I weigh? What is my height and weight? And, you know, I'm rich, but what do I know anything? So I've actually given up the body in deep sleep. Even in mind, I give up my mind in deep sleep. It's there in dream, but it's not there in deep sleep. In deep sleep state, I give up all the three bodies. Do I know that I'm ignorant of chemistry or physics when I'm in deep sleep? Do I know I'm ignorant of anything? I don't even know that I know whatever, and I don't know nothing I know. So that means that these are the not self. It is not aham. So aham is that which never leaves me. And that is the pure consciousness. Because when I wake up, I have memory of it. Okay. I am alive in deep sleep. Even in a coma, I am alive. But I've given up the gross body, subtle body, and causal body. So aham is that which can never be given up. That's why Gurudev has said, I can never leave you. Because if I leave you, where will you be? Note that the I is the capital I. It is not ego. It's not saying, oh, physically, we are attached to the body. So we suddenly, you know, we get upset if we miss somebody, we you know, whatever. But this aham is that which I can never give up. If I give up, aham finished. That's why in chapter 2 we saw it, this aham is one which cannot, okay, nobody can kill it, but maybe it can kill itself. No, aham cannot commit suicide either. That's how indestructible this aham is. And that is the aham that we need to understand this verse with. So when he says, sarvasya cha aham riddhi sannivishtaha, riddhi in the heart, he was in the stomach as Vaishvanara. Even if the stomach is far, but heart is the closest, we always point our finger, I did heart. So he says, I am in the heart of all sarvasya. Sarvasya, like I told you, this sarva word, when we say, we should imagine the entire universe. So when he says sarvasya, he means humans, animals, plants, inert things, everything, not just human beings. That's why I've always told you, he's there in Arjuna as well as in Duryodhana. Even in the worst criminal and even in the best realized master or best person, he's there. So sarvasya cha aham radhi, this aham is there in it, not Krishna, not the form of Krishna. That form can be in some bhakta's mind, that is fine. But this aham that he's referring to is present in all the beings. Okay, beings. Matta smritihi jnanaha apohanam cha. It is because of me that there is smriti, memory, jnana, knowledge, and apohanam, forgetfulness. So what is jnana? What is the knowledge when we are in a waking state? The knowledge that happens, knowledge here represents the waking state. Okay, let's start there. Knowledge represents the waking state. Smriti, memory, represents the dream state. And apohanam cha, forgetfulness, represents the deep sleep state. So in why jnana, why waking state is called as jnana? What does it mean when he says waking is, why is the word jnana being used for waking state? Because in the waking state, the meaning of that is there is a triad. I told you the triad is extremely important and extremely valid in the field of ignorance, in the field of duality, in the material world, in the waking state. Right now, we are in the waking state. So there is a subject who is speaking, there is an object who is listening, and there is an experience of listening going on between the two of us. So there is a triad. There is an experiencer, like Gurudev would say, experienced, and experiencing. So by saying that he is jnana, he says, I am the one that is supporting the triad. That is the conclusion. Jnana, that's why we say waking. Because in waking, the triad is most prominent and most valid, necessary also. I wouldn't be just talking if I was just alone here, and then there's something wrong. There has to be somebody else to listen to my talk. To transact with the world, I something has to be there. You know, I buy some groceries, then I pay them. So the triad is there always. So by saying that I am jnana, this jnana in the waking world is happening because of the triad. I am the one that is supporting the triad. So if the subject is because of me, the object also is because of me, and the experiencing that is happening is because of me alone. Because if I'm not there, nothing will happen. Okay, memory. In dream, we see the dream, and I've told you dream analysis. The dream, whatever we see in the dream is whatever is in our vasana banks. And vasana is memories in very, very subtle form, memory. We also have memory, and then sometimes we have to think, oh yeah, I saw this person there. So, but the memory in the vasana level is, you can never remember it. It's not that type of a memory that we are accustomed to, but vasanas is all the karmas that we have done. So that is memory. And that is what is projecting the dream. Whatever is in that vasana level is projecting the dream. So that's why he says that I am that because of me. In dream, I told you, it's like a dark theater, movie theater. There is a light that is required. That light is aham. So this is what he's telling us, that dream that you see, I am the one that is because of whom you can see the dream. That's what he means by saying smritihi. Because of him, mattaha, in me, from me are memory and knowledge. From me means I am the support. If I'm not there, you cannot have knowledge, you cannot have any memory. What about forgetfulness? That is also because of me, representing the deep sleep. In deep sleep, we forget who we are, what worries we have, what joys we have, everything we forget. Also, this forgetfulness is a blessing because we have forgotten by the Lord's grace. It is the grace of the Lord that we do not remember our past lives. That would have been totally chaotic. Imagine if all the lives that I have lived through, I would be totally miserable because, oh my God, in one life I was a lizard, somebody killed me. In one life I was a reptile, then I was a bird, then I was a tree, even if I was a human being, oh, I owe money to that person. That one owes me money. She cheated me. He cheated me. He robbed me. He killed me. You killed me last life. You murdered me. I know. Life would have been impossible to live. Impossible. So therefore, I'm not talking of dementia. Dementia and Alzheimer's is the defect of the body. Yeah, not that way. But forgetfulness, it means in sleep, I forget. In sleep, you forget because of me. Everything is because of me and capital M. And this is referring to aham. Bhagwan is saying this, not me. Now, Vedesha sarvaha aham eva vedyaha. Aham eva. This eva word is also there in the next quarter. Eva chaham aham. So in the Vedas, sarve vedaha means all the Vedas, all four Vedas. Aham eva vedya. Vedya is to be known. So in all the four Vedas, what is to be known is aham. And this is not the form of Krishna. It is that pure consciousness, the absolute. So I told you, there are people, the Karmakandins, this is what they argued with Bhagwan Shankaracharya, that Bhagwan said this, Bhagwan Shankaracharya said this, that the main theme, and I told you, that entire essence of the Vedas is to know this aham. There is no other purpose. But they argue that then why Karmakanda portion is so big? Why did Bhagwan even put it there? No. So they say that no, that is to fulfill our desires in this world. That's how they say. That's why we saw in chapter 2, the flowery language. If you do this, you'll get this. If you do this, you'll get this. Why is it there? That is how they say. But if you understand the entire theme of the Vedas, that karma kanda portion has been told for the people who have desires to purify their mind. But the karma kandins don't take it like that. They say that is the bulkiest portion of the Vedas. So that is the most important portion of the Vedas. And therefore, that should be given more importance. And the Upanishads, which are very tiny portion, the Vedanta is very small, means it is very less important. And it should be played when we do our rituals. You chant the Upanishads as a background music. That's all there is the purpose of Vedanta. This is how they actually say it. So we are doing the yajna, and now you can just chant Ishavasya over in the side. You know that thing in musical, there's that at the back, there is this background music. They say that is the purpose of Vedanta. Now this is where Bhagwan himself is saying. That's why this word aham is extremely important to understand. Exactly what does Bhagwan mean by aham? So understand aham to be that pure consciousness, that supreme reality. And Bhagwan is saying, this is the only thing that you should understand in the Vedas. Don't understand that, if I do this karma, I'll get this. If I do that karma, I'll get that. No. So even though it is not the bulk which decides the importance, but they say, no, that is the bulkiest bit, that is most important. So that's not true. Okay. Vedesha sarvehe. Aham eva vedya. Aham alone. Eva is alone. Only eva. Only aham should be known through the Vedas. Don't get into other things. This is what Bhagavan is saying. Now, Vedanta Krit Veda Videva Cha Aham. So Aham Vedanta Krit. Vedanta Krit means I am the, actually Krit means doer of the Vedas. But what it is, I am indeed the author of Vedanta. I'm the author, means I'm the doer. Krit means it is, Vedas have been done by me, but done means authored, right? So that's why we have always said that Vedanta, Vedas are a Purushya. They're not written by any human being. They are the breath of the gods. And this is what he's saying. I am the author of the Vedas. And even that aham is referring to the pure consciousness. It is not referring to Krishna. Understand? Krishna is speaking as the pure consciousness. Okay? And then, and who knows the Vedas? So I am only the knower of the Vedas. Now, this knower has two implications. If I write a book, will I not know what is in that book? Simple, no? If I say, you know, I cook something, then people go, oh, what is the recipe? If I say, I don't know the recipe, huh? I just did it. What, you did it from blank? So one meaning is, I have done the Vedas, I have authored the Vedas, so I know what is in there. That's one meaning. Now, I have done the Vedas and the knower, so there is somebody who wants to know the Vedas, Shishya. So the Guru Shishya Parampara, so he says, I am only the Guru. Why? Because I have authored the Vedas. Who wants to know the Vedas is the student, right? So I am only the Guru and I am only the student. Means what? I only am backing up the Guru and me. It's my power behind the student also. That's why they, even to come to this knowledge, it's great merits are required. Great merits are required. Let me tell you. It's not, I'm not exaggerating at all. At all. If you have the inclination to attend Vedanta class, any spiritual organization or anything, know that your punya karma is fructifying. Know that. Otherwise, they don't come. You tell them, they come, then halfway they leave. They don't understand. So a lot of punya is required. And this is what Bhagavan is saying here, that I am the author of the Vedas. I alone should be known through the Vedas. Don't go into other things. You read the Vedas, you just understand what aham is. And aham is not to be understood as something outside. That's why he said, first only, sarvasya cha aham riddhi sannivishta. Every Upanishad tells us this, that the Purusha is located in the heart. And the reason is that look in the heart, look in your own. You're bothered only about looking outside into other people's minds. What did he think? Why did he do this? Why did she say this? Look in your own heart. That is the indication there. That. So this, I am located, I am situated in the hearts of all. That's why it is the spiritual heart, like I told you. But heart. Indicating that you should look inside. If you want to search for me, you need to look inside. And because of me, there is the waking dream and deep sleep states. The triad, I am the one sustaining the triad. I am the one sustaining the memory, which is giving you the dream. And I alone am that which is sustaining your deep sleep, because of me, you have the memory. In the Vedas, I alone should be known. There is nothing else. There's nothing else. Don't go after anything else. Try to find me. Try to find aham, not me. Try to find the aham. And then this aham is the one that has created the Vedas, created or authored or wrote physical writing was done by Bhagavan Ved Vyasa. But they have come from the gods, from aham, from the pure consciousness. And I only am the knower. So I have written, so I know what I have written, number one. Or I have written and there is somebody who wants to know it. So that knower also is me. The Shishya also is me. The Guru also is me alone. Okay, it's an important verse. Now, I told you in the beginning when I introduced, this is a Shastra, this chapter, because it talks about all three aspects of Vedanta, Jiva, Jagat, and Ishvara. He started with Jagata, Jagat he started, and then he went on to Jiva. He gave us also the sadhana, the self-effort. Antaranga sadhana he gave before, right after explaining Jagat, Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Doshaha Adhyatma Nitya Vinivritta Kamaha. That is that Antaranga sadhana. Then he gave a Bahiranga sadhana. Okay, if you are extroverted, if the Jiva is looking outside, because the Jiva is taken birth because of desires. So obviously the desires have to be fulfilled and you're looking outside. Yes, go ahead. But when you look outside, try and think of me, because it's me only behind the sun, the moon, the earth, the stomach, and finally the heart. Okay. Now he goes on to the topic of Ishwar. So that's why, again, these verses, every verse is important in this.
Dvavimau purushau loke ksharascha kshara evacha ksharas sarvani bhutani kutasto kshara uchate.
Two purushas are there in this world, the perishable and the imperishable. All beings are the perishable and the kutastha is called the imperishable. All right. So the first question arises, did we not so far say that there was only one Purusha and there was nothing else? And now Bhagwan himself is saying there are two Purushas. Excuse me, Bhagwan, did you make a mistake? No, Bhagwan can never make a mistake. So there are a few interpretations of this. Let's start with a very, very simple interpretation, which I have given always. My children are standing in front of me. Jaya becomes a mother. My parents are standing on the other side. Jaya becomes a daughter. My friend is standing there. Jaya becomes a friend. My enemy is standing there. Jaya becomes an enemy. So Jaya is only one, but now she's becoming so many things, depending on the upadhi. Okay, the conditioning. If the conditioning of children is there, she's a mother. If the conditioning of parents is there, she's a daughter. If the conditioning of a friend is there, she's a friend. If there is a conditioning of student, she's a teacher. If there's a conditioning of enemy, she's an enemy. So that way, Purusha is only one, but depending on the conditionings, he becomes a Kshara Purusha. Kshara is perishable. Kshara is synonym with Ashwatha. Please remember, Ashwatha and Avyaya, these are the two words that we heard in the first verse. So here, Kshara is Ashwatha and Akshara is Avyaya. Okay, that's one explanation. So understand it that way. So it is the conditioning which is making the same Purusha become Kshara Purusha or Akshara Purusha, number one. All right. Now, number two. In the first verse, we also heard this Ashwatha and Avyaya, and there also we said, because it was only talking about the world, Jagat. So this Jagat is Ashwatha, we said, it's changing. But then the material that it is made out of, the five elements, is Avyaya. Okay? So you can understand Kshara Purusha is Jagat and Akshara Purusha is the five elements. Okay. But then are the five elements absolutely imperishable? No. They become Kshara Purusha when Maya becomes Akshara Purusha. You get this hierarchy? This is what Jagat, there we use the words Ashwatha and Avyaya. We said Jagat is Ashwatha, elements are Avyaya. Then elements become Ashwatha with respect to Maya, who becomes Avyaya. And with respect to Brahman, Maya becomes Ashwatha. Do you remember this? Okay. So here also, now here he's not only referring to Jagat, he's referring to all the beings. So world, including all the jivas, it's Kshara Purusha. So we have come, all the jivas, all this world has come from elements and then Prakriti or Maya. So Maya is Kshara Purusha. The upadhi, if the upadhi of Maya is there, Maya is Kshara Purusha and pure consciousness is Akshara Purusha. Dvau imau purusho purushaha loka loke. In this loka in this world. Seventh case, Loke is seventh case. So in this world, Dvau Imau, in this, Imau is this. In this world, there are two Purushas. Sharapurusha and Aksharapurusha. Okay, this is another way of understanding it. Now, a third way of understanding this is all this world has come from where? From Prakriti. We saw that in chapter 13 also, right? Brahman, pure consciousness, doesn't create. But with the help of Prakriti, when it becomes Ishvara, then this Prakriti is the one that creates. So Prakriti has created this world of inert objects as well as these bodies, the human body and the animal body and everything. Now, this Prakriti, how are the human beings or the life beings functioning in this world? By the grace of God. Only by the grace, even inert things, they have existence principle, which is the grace of Brahman, your consciousness. Okay, so then this body is Kshara Purusha, the body alone. But how is the body being sustained? How does the body appear alive? It's because of Chidabhasa. Remember, reflection of consciousness in the mental pool is making this body appear alive. I say appear because body is inert. Body is not alive, really. It is appearing as though Eva. It is appearing as though alive because of Chidabhasa. So this Chidabhasa, along with the body, becomes Kshara-Purusha. Chidabhasa along with the body is Kshara-Purusha. Chidabhasa without the body is Akshara-Purusha. Same Purusha. Why are we saying same Purusha? Because everybody is being sustained by Purusha only. Chidabhasa also is being sustained by Purusha. Chidabhasa has no existence without Purusha. Body has no existence without Purusha. How? Body is made out of the elements. Elements coming from Maya. Maya coming from Brahma. Don't forget that. That hierarchy must never be forgot, because that's why when we say how body is. No. So this also is a way of understanding Kshara and Akshara Purusha. Okay. Chidabhasa Rahita Purusha and Chidabhasa Yukta Purusha. So Chidabhasa Yukta Purusha and Rahita Purusha. So with the body and without the body. Now, the next understanding, this Jiva, who is now looking at the world, okay? The Jiva is, what is Jiva actually? Mama Eva Aunsha Jivaha. Actually, so this Prakriti becomes Kshara Purusha and Jiva becomes Akshara Purusha. Why is Jiva Akshara? Because it is a part of that eternal Brahman. Mama Eva Aunsha Jiva. So in that pair, these are just pairs I'm giving you. Kshara and Akshara. So Jiva is Akshara. Prakriti is Kshara. What is Prakriti? Body. Kshetra. Kshetra is Kshara here. And Kshetra Dnya that we learnt in chapter 13 is Akshara. This is not a new idea. This is a revision of that same idea, a repetition of the same idea. And you might think, why is Bhagwan repeating? Because you think we understood in chapter 13. Chapter 2, we would have stopped attending. If we really, anybody who really realized will never come to class again. Let me tell you. Either they think they realize, which is total ignorance, or then there is complete enlightenment. We are in between. That's why we are in class. We are in class because we are neither completely ignorant. Those who are completely, they have also come and gone. They say, oh yeah, I understood what it is. You understood intellectually, but you have not realized it. You have not got the wisdom. But that is what it is. Now, Kshara and Akshara. Now, come back to the example of Jaya being a mother and Jaya being a daughter. The difference between this mother and daughter is Upadhi. Jaya is the same. So it's a difference in Upadhi. Now, Kshara Purusha has something Kshara, something perishable as Upadhi. Okay? All right? Because it is the Upadhi which is determining whether this is Kshara Purusha. It is the Upadhi which is determining whether Jaya is mother or daughter. Upadhi is determining. Jaya is not determining. Upadhi is determining. You get this point? This is a very important point. Similarly, the Kshara Upadhi makes Akshara Purusha, and the Akshara Upadhi makes Akshara Purusha. Now, in this Upadhi, what are we talking about? We are talking about Jiva and Ishvara. So Jiva becomes Kshara Purusha. Why? Because what is the Upadhi of Jiva? Avidya. Remember, don't forget these things. These are basic fundamentals of Vedanta. So the Upadhi of Jiva is Avidya, ignorance. And the Upadhi of Ishvara is Maya. And what is the difference between Avidya and Maya? Jiva is under the control of Avidya. What is Avidya? What is Maya? They are Trigunatmak. They have the three gunas. We are under the control of the three gunas. We are under the control of Avidya, whereas Maya is under the control of Ishvara. And therefore, Jiva and Ishvara, in these two, Jiva becomes the Kshara Purusha and Ishvara becomes the Akshara Purusha. And that is what he's referring to here. In this world, there are two Purushas. It's the one same Purusha because of the Upadhi being known as Kshara Purusha, which is Jiva, and another one is Akshara Purusha, which is Ishvara. All right? So, Ashwata. Now, Kshara Chakshara Evacha. There are two. That's the first line. Kshara Sarvani Bhutani. So Sarvani Bhutani, all the bodies, all the beings are Kshara Purusha. Jiva. What are the beings? The Jivas, na? I told you, Jiva is there even in humans, animals, plants. Jiva is there. Why? Because Bhagwan said no. In the earlier verse, Bhagwan said, Sarvasya Chaham Saridhi Sannivishtha. Bhagwan, see everything Bhagwan has said, huh? I am not adding anything. Bhagwan said, don't think, well, how do you know? He only said, I am there in all the beings. So he is there in all the beings. Okay. And all the beings are Kshara. They're Kshara Purusha. Why? Because even the jivahood will end. In knowledge, that jivahood will end. So it becomes Kshara. Kutastho Kshara Uchate. Now, the Kutastha is the Akshara Purusha here. So all the beings, when he says, important point, he is also including Ishvara in that first quarter of the second line. When he says, Kshara Sarvani Bhutani. This Bhutani, Ishwara also, at one point, that Ishwara, which appeared Akshara Purusha, appeared as Akshara Purusha in comparison to the Jiva, which is the Kshara Purusha, Bhagwan is saying even that is a superimposition. I've told you always, Ishwara is not real. Concept of Ishwara is not real. Really real. Really real, I should say. This is what he's saying here. So above these two, they are both Kshara. So the actual final Akshara is the Kutastha. Kutastha means pure consciousness, absolute reality without any Upadhi. When there is absolutely no Upadhi, then it is known as Kutastha. This word Kuta comes, it has one meaning of Kutastha is like the hub of the wheel. So the hub never moves, only the spokes move. And if the hub is removed, the wheel cannot function. So it is the center of that wheel because of which, and which is very, very stable. Another meaning of Kutastha stays, is also called as the anvil, known as the anvil. So the blacksmith or the goldsmith, they have this anvil, this block of iron or whatever, wood or whatever. And on that, they shape the whatever the instruments that they are making or ornaments that they are making. So that which doesn't shake, Kutastha. Another meaning of Kuta is hidden. That which remains hidden, the pure consciousness, even though very, very visible to us, because why is it visible? Because I'm constantly saying, aham, 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 na. I am speaking, I am doing, I am doing. So that I is Swayam Siddha, it is all constantly we are talking about the I, and yet the capital I is hidden from us because we think that that ego is that aham. We think. when I say I speak, I hear it, I'm not referring to the pure consciousness. I'm sad, I'm happy. I'm referring to the ego. So even though it is visible, it is known to us, it is hidden. That's why also it is known as kutastha. Another meaning of kuta is wrongly interpreted, mistake. And that's also it is not kuta, because it is mistaken to be the ego. This kutastha is mistaken to be the ego. That's why it is kuta. So he's saying, kshara sarvani bhutani. In the first line, he says, kshara and akshara, there are two purushas. So there is, because of the upadhi, they become two. It's the same purusha becoming two separate ones because of the upadhi. So kshara purusha is with the upadhi, perishable upadhi, kshara upadhi, and akshara purusha is with the akshara upadhi. Between avidya and maya, avidya is kshara, maya is akshara. Between the two only, yeah, in comparison. And therefore, Ishwara is akshara and jiva is kshara. But Bhagwan says, understand that even Ishwara will dissolve. When will Ishwara dissolve? When the individual jiva dissolves, Ishwara will automatically at the same time simultaneously dissolve. I've given you the example of the team leader. The team leader is a team leader because there is a team underneath him. There's a team of five people underneath him. You dissolve the team, the five individuals get dissolved. Team leader dissolves automatically. Is he a team leader? There's no team. Now, what is he leading? There are no individuals. Then what is the totality? Understand Akshara also to be the cause and Kshara to be the effect. Whatever is the effect will perish. Effect will always perish. The cause will not. That is one of the reasons we say Maya, ultimately Maya also becomes Kshara, because Maya also dissolves in the pure consciousness. But pure consciousness never goes anywhere. Is this a bit too much or is it okay? Anybody wants to ask anything? I'll tell you, if you want to remember this verse very, very simply, simply forget whatever I said in the beginning. Remember, Kshara Purusha is Jiva and Akshara Purusha is Ishwara. Now, Jiva, Ishwara, these two words are very familiar to you, right? Okay. In chapter 7, if you remember, he talked about Para and Apara Prakriti, and then he talked about Turiya. It's exactly the same idea. Okay. Or he talked about Kshetra and Kshetradnya. The field and the knower of the field. So that's also the same idea. Kshara is the effect. Akshara is the cause. So the cause, individual and total, they are there. Kshara and Akshara, Jiva and Ishwara. But we have to understand that transcending both these, there is something else. That is the pure consciousness. Ishwara is the pure consciousness plus Maya. It's the same as Tattvamasi, Mahavakya analysis that we did. What is Tat? Tat is Ishwara. What is Ishwara? Ishwara is pure consciousness plus Maya. Here, known as Akshara Purusha. Why? Because Maya is Akshara. The gunas are not getting destroyed at all. Even in that first verse, we said the elements will get destroyed, but the gunas never get destroyed. Why? Because gunas is Prakriti. Prakriti doesn't, Maya doesn't get destroyed. And then what is Tvam? Me, Jiva, is pure consciousness plus avidya. Right? Upadhi of avidya. So in Tattvamasi Mahavakya analysis, we said drop the upadhis. This is what exactly we have to do here as well. We have to drop the kshara upadhi. We have to drop the akshara upadhi also, to reach the final kutastha. So kutastha is definitely akshara and it never becomes kshara. All other things, at one point, they became kshara, na? But kutastha is the causeless cause. There is no cause for kutastha. This is a very important verse. Listen to my Why is this coming up?
It's me. It's Mohini. So the what we usually say is Param Brahma. So that is the Buddhist. Param Brahma, the highest one. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, but the same highest one is in everybody.
Yes. Correct.
In everything, everybody.
Yes.
On the other hand, when we say that he's in everybody and we take everybody as him and start loving everybody as him, and then we are there.
Yeah. That is through bhakti.
Okay. That's not jnana, that's bhakti.
Through bhakti, because if you're seeing the form, jnana would be when you would come to know that the self in me is the self in all. When you would, jnana is intellectual jnana, but wisdom, you have to actually realize that. So as a first step, we can at least stop like hating it. Like I said, you know, tone down our hates to dislike, not prefers, those kind of things. Any questions?
Jayaji, can I ask a question?
Yes.
So in reality, there is only the Kutastha, right? There is no Kshara and Akshara in the ultimate final analysis.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Very true. Very, very true. Okay. From our side, it looks, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Jayaji?
Yes.
I'm still stuck on the previous verse. 15 on aham.
Is Ramesh speaking? Who is speaking?
Raj.
Oh, Raj, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, Raj, go ahead.
Yeah, when we say soham.
Soham, yes.
When we meditate on that mantra.
Yes.
What are we doing?
That aham is this same aham that I explained, the absolute reality. That soham is sahaham aham.
Sahaham, that's what it is.
That aham is not ego. No. It is the pure consciousness.
I mean, the pure consciousness. I am that.
Yes, I am that.
I am.
Correct. Positive. Or you go koham.
Soham, yeah.
Who is that? So who is I? Who is that I? Who is that I which says I am speaking? Who is that I which says I am touching, tasting, smelling, walking, running? Question the I. When you question the I, it will dissolve. Because actually the I that is doing everything is the small I. It is the ego. It is the ego which is speaking. It is the ego which is, doing everything. So when you question that small I, it will dissolve. One thing also you must know, one more point here. This akshara requires kshara for experiencing the world. See, jiva is formless. Okay, jiva has got many, many desires. That's why jiva has taken, but that's why Bhagwan only said, manashashtani indriyani. It collects, it attracts towards itself all the organs of perception along with the mind. Why? Because it needs those organs to enjoy the world, to fulfill its desires. It needs. So akshara for bhoga, for experiencing, needs kshara. Needs. Not the pure. Now that's why akshara, not kutastha. Understand that kutastha doesn't need anything. But akshara, this jiva, because it has collected all these desires, even though it is akshara purusha. Why? Because it is a part of Bhagwan. Bhagwan said, Mama eva osho, jiva. So jiva is part, but it has these desires. So then it becomes kshara purusha. Trying to fulfill the desires, it is actually akshara purusha, but it becomes kshara purusha. That is what we are right now. We are kshara purusha.
Yeah, that's what it is. And man minus desires is equal to...
Correct. Correct. Is God. Yes. And minus desire. Very true. Very, very true.
That's ego. Ego has all the desires.
Yeah.
So when we become desireless,
Correct.
Cha gayi chinta miti manva beparva.
It is okay to have desire because desire is a thought.
Okay, desire,
don't insist on it.
It should not be sticking to you. Like, it should be under your control. That's all. If those desires, the more desires you create, the more you
are bound.
Bound, yeah, that's what it is.
You're bound to this world. Yes, correct. Okay, any questions? So today we are on the 6th and next week is 13th. I will try to finish the 4. If I finish the remaining verses, then we will not take a class on the 20th. 20th, actually, I don't think there is a class. Na? 20th, there's not a class. Okay, so either I finish it next Monday or then we continue in January. Now, because there are only 20 verses, wow, and there are 21 participants. So this time I'm going to leave the choosing to you guys. Everybody takes only one verse. There are only 20 verses. So pick whatever verse that you want. Padmaja, is it okay if they let you know? And so if there are two people who let you know that they want to do the same verse, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. So whoever emails you first, then they get first dibs and then the second person goes second. Now, if not all 20 verses go, then we have a problem. You understand? If all 20 verses go and all 20 verses, there are two people that say there's no problem. There's no problem. Okay, so this time I'm going to let you pick which every verse has got so much depth, so much meaning, because, you know, this is it. You chant this, you understand 15, you've actually understood the entire Gita. There's nothing more to be understood anymore. So that's a very important chapter. And after this, I promise you that it'll get easy. There was another request that I wanted to make because when we were talking, I don't know if Ashok is there, that we had said that I think we started with 12, 13, 14, 15. These we did continuously. So I'm not really sure what the next text is in your guide, but personally, I would like to continue with the Bhagavad Gita so that I can do 16, 17, 18. Because 10 years ago, when I came back from Sandipani, that is the sankalpa that I had made. That time, Calgary was not that much in the picture. It was the Saturday class. I thought, you know, I would like to study all the 18 chapters. Like, I have studied them. But, and 16, 17, 18 are very important to me because I have never taught them anywhere. All these chapters I had either done in Vancouver or Yadnya or somewhere here, there, that sort of thing. But I have not done. So if it's okay with all of you in Calgary, then I would like to go on to 16 and then just stay with Bhagavad Gita, basically, till I complete that way. It'll complete
it's my okay. Sankalpa. It's okay with us.
It's okay. Fine. So great. So we complete 15. Either we complete it next week. Let's not rush. I mean, you know, I can rush, but I don't think I should. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, it's hard. Like, that's what I was thinking. I was actually honestly thinking, you know, like if this was a Yajna setting, I would have said this Jiva Ishwara and this finished. Verse is finished. But then I thought, no, that's not, it didn't sit right with me because I have the time. I have the luxury of time here. So I may as well take advantage of it. And that way I think about it too, right? So next week, like I said, will be the last class. Then we'll meet in January. And each one, please pick your verses. Let Padmaja know. And it's okay if two people pick the same verse. No, don't say, oh, that verse has been picked. Don't say anything like that. But if there are verses, then send out an email that these verses are remaining. So please somebody take these ones. Okay. All right. So pick your verses and we'll meet next Monday. All right. Om Swasti Prajabhyav Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhyo Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yam Kshobarahita Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadra Purvani Pashantu Makashid Dukhabhag Bhaveto Masatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya Mrutyorma Amritam Gamaya Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay, Hari Om, everybody.